Thank you, Jonathan, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for showing up to listen for our presentation about minor crop or orphan crops. Normally, we come here to hear corn, soybean, wheat, all these things. So, last meeting at ASA, after being in the business meeting, I thought we need to let the society know that there are some other crops which are often, as Jonathan mentioned, passes through the cracks of the major crop. So that was the whole idea. So with that idea, we put together a program and thought we'll talk about few those kinds of crops. Now, the first, what I'm going to talk about, the proso millet. I'm a plant breeder and geneticist by expertise, by training, and I'm located at the University of Nebraska's Agronomy and Horticulture in R&E Center in Western Nebraska, Scotts Bluff. As you see here, Jonathan, is the pointer? This probably, right? No. Okay, here is Lincoln. Now, moment people think about University of Nebraska, Lincoln, oh, corn and soybean, corn and soybean. That's not the case. I am 425 miles west, almost like bordering Colorado, Wyoming. And the diverse crops are there on the farm system. We have dryland corn, absolutely no soybean. Some acreage of dryland corn, but mostly it is ruled by rain-fed wheat production, winter wheat. So winter wheat, sunflower, millet, proso millet. Under irrigated condition, it is sugar beet and dry bean, northern red bean. Those are the crops for Western Nebraska signature crop. So when think about University of Nebraska, Omaha, Lincoln, we are really like Colorado and Wyoming. So that's the place I am located, and I want to recognize my co-authors and contributors and collaborators, Dr. James Snobel. He's our computational biologist in the same department, and two collaborators from Food Science and Technology of the same university, Dr. David Rose and Yu Zhang. And I'll point out what is their contribution. Now, moment you hear millet, automatically comes Africa in your mind. Oh, millet, Africa. Okay? So I have seen over and over last 5-6 years, people do not understand what millet. People think millet is a single crop. That's not the case. Millet is a group of crops, belongs to the same family as rice, wheat, barley, oats, grass family. It's mostly adapted in the semi-arid region. That's why immediately we correlate with Africa. Oh, U.S. is not a semi-arid, so millet is not the crop of here. That's not true. Mostly originated from Africa and Asia. And seed characteristics, tiny, pale, yellow seed color with nutty flavor, but turns out to be very tasty after cooking. And this shows the diversity of millet. Now, I'll quickly go through, for the sake of knowledge, that what are the different millets, at least in the production in the worldwide. So most important millet is the pearl millet, which most predominantly produced in African, India and African subcontinent, Western Africa. And this is the morphology of pearl millet, and you will see after a few slides of what are the differences. You can see the seed is very similar. You will see that. This is pearl millet. This is predominantly used in India and Africa as a food crops, but in southeastern USA, it is as a forage. Next is proso millet. It is originated in northwestern China about 10,000 years ago. Predominantly produced in Eastern Asian countries and US. See the seed? It's very similar, but morphology of the plant is different. From distance, it looks like an upland paddy field. Next is foxtail millet. Cetaria, see the seed, very similar, head is totally different, and again it is originated in northwestern part of China, and in US it is predominantly known as a hay millet, they grow as a forage, but in China and other Eastern Asian countries, Japan, Korea, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Vietnam, they use, these are really important, culturally important crop for them. Next is finger millet. It's predominantly in India and Africa. And you will see, if you go to any ethnic stores, like Asian stores or international store, you will find some kind of ragi. It's very, very nutritious, very high in fiber and other minerals. Again, I think name came from because of the finger appearance, the head, and the seed is very similar. Next is Kodo millet. Again, very similar. Sometimes color is different, little bit brownish, yellowish, golden, depends. Depends on the production condition also. Again, morphology is different. So little millet, Panicum sumatris, very similar to Panicum miliaceum. From the morphology, you can see that, but seed also very similar, almost like paddy. And next one is barnyard millet, the fastest growing among all millets. It can produce seed in 40 to 50 days. And is originated, this grown in mainly the Eastern Asian countries, India, Japan, and China. Now, there is that global scenario of all the millets. Pearl millet is covers about 50% of the total global millet acreage, predominantly produced in India and Western African countries. Then third is 30% proso millet and foxtail millet, mostly China and US and Eastern European countries like Slovenia, Estonia, Romania, those are the countries they produce, and then former USSR, like right now is Ukraine area, that southern part of former USSR. And remaining 10% is finger millet, India predominantly, almost like 75%, remaining 25% probably Africa, and all other millets, the remaining three, which are minor millet, covers about 10%. So that, I hope that gives you that knowledge about millet. Millet is not a single crop, it's a group of crops with a similar property. Okay, now I'll talk a little bit more about my proso millet breeding program. Now, why proso millet? I work on proso millet, which seems to be African crop, because my target area is Western Nebraska. It's a semi-arid environment, very high elevation, very short growing season, annual precipitation about 14 to 16 inches per year, mostly summer precip zone. Rain-fed agriculture is predominantly covered by winter wheat. Now, traditional practice is wheat fallow, which is not good. Fallow does not really conserve lots of moisture, and it also brings lots of other negative impacts to the production system, weed, pathogen, all these insects. So we always need to diversify in order to make the cropping system sustainable. So we put develop different kind of crop. Proso millet turns out to be the most important alternative crops of rotational crop for winter wheat-based dryland cropping system in western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and southwestern South Dakota. Why? It is fallow-rooted crop, low-input crop, adapted to semi-arid environment, least amount of water among all the cereals, and I'll show you one graph to demonstrate that, and very short duration. It forms seed to seed in 60 to 90 days. Everybody remembers 2012 drought? What happened to corn production to that whole Great Plain? Here is a picture in western Nebraska, Cheyenne County, just 1 mile apart. This is my millet field, this is farmer field, and this is the corn field. Now, does it tell that under stress environment where the prayer is really drought environment, what happens to corn and what happens to millet? That's why millet is the best alternative crops in that area. That clearly demonstrates that. More than 100 years ago, there was a study from USDA ARS Research Station at Akron, Colorado. What they did, they measured amount of water transpired to produce ounce of grains for these crops. So this y-axis tells the amount of water, this graph, and this is that, the amount of grain and produced per gallon of water loss, and these are these different crops. Wheat, barley, maize, sorghum, which is milo, foxtail millet, proso millet. Per ounce of water loss, gallon of water loss, proso millet produces almost like double than any of these most efficient foxtail millet. So that's why I tell proso millet is a crop which uses least amount of water among these cereals, at least from this study. But make a point there, this is more than 100 years old. And I am not a physiologist, but we are trying to work on revisit this graph and whether that is true or not. And hopefully we'll come up with similar result. So that tells why proso millet is important for that area or semi-arid environment where water is a limited factor. little bit history of prosoma millet in US. It is domesticated, as I told earlier, at about 10,000 years ago in China. Then it moved to Eastern European country about 5,000 years ago. It came to US in 1875 by German-Russian immigrant. And they moved to South Dakota, Colorado, Western Nebraska, that area. And the word prozo is a Russian word. So they came from the southern part of former USSR, and they brought the prozo millet with them. They thought, well, they are going to an unknown land. They don't know what to grow, what to eat. They thought at least they can grow this and they can eat. So prozo millet came to this country as a human food, but today's market is predominantly non-human food industry, bird food industry, of course, which is changing. It is, if you search in internet, you will see just millet, common millet, hog millet, all these things. In China, where the center of origin is broom corn millet, nobody knows what is prozo millet there. And other countries like Germany, French, it is not French white. So all these different names tell the same thing, prozo millet, Panicum miliaceum. Prozo millet industry in US, it's not like corn, soybean. One of my administrators asked me, how many million contribution of my prozo millet breeding program to US egg industry? I told, are you asking relatively compared to corn and soybean industry? If that is the case, I will tell less than 1% or maybe 0.1%. Here is that. Now US production about 500,000 acre to 700 million acre. That's the total production acre. Industry's value is about $26 to $80 million. That's the total industry value. And these are the three states which produces almost 95% of the total US millet. Colorado produces half of total millet. 25% comes from Western Nebraska. 20% comes from Southwestern South Dakota. Remaining 5% comes from Upper Midwest, Minnesota, North Dakota, and little bit in Western Kansas, bordering Colorado. So this is the hot spot for millet. That's why rest of the country, they don't know what is prozo millet. When I talk with my colleague from either east side or west side, or go to the funding agency, talk with the prozo millet, they told what it is. They had no idea. They thought millet means Africa. Now here is the history of prozo millet breeding program at UNL. UNL is the only prozo millet breeding program in this country, and probably I know of three worldwide breeding programs. The second one is Northwest AF University, Yangling in China. Other one is in Ukraine. So far, that's my knowledge. So not many people are working, and I'm trying to do something, not only breeding, but other aspects also, I'll show that. The breeding program at UNL, which started at Scotts Bluff in 1965, and this is the first variety which was released there. After that, there are few varieties by Nelson during his career at Scotts Bluff. Then David Baltensberger, many of you know, he was the chair of Crop Science Society a couple of years ago. He's the department chair of Texas A&M Crop and Soil Science. So he developed most of this today's common varieties. Then I came on board in 2008. And I released few years ago first waxy millet variety, and then I came up with, well, I need to develop some modern breeding tools. As Jonathan mentioned, after 10-15 years, no crop will remain as a minor crop. They will catch up the major with the genomic tools, modern breeding tools. So that is the vision I have, and I'll share with you what I have done and what my idea. Now, when I thought about prozo millet breeding, I need to know what is prozo millet, its chromosome number, ploidy, etc. This is the current state of knowledge, which is not bulletproof, perfected like wheat evolution, but prozo millet is allotetraploid. Is a chromosome number 2X is 18, 2N is 18, but X is 9, basic chromosome number. It came from, it speculated that possibly through natural hybridization between Panicum halei or Panicum capillary, these are all wild millet, with the Panicum heticule, and gave to Panicum miliaceum. And this genome is sequenced, and none of these are sequenced or confirmed. So we are working on that angle. So prozo millet is allotetraploid, mostly self-pollinated, but up to 10% cross-pollinated is known. So that is important for a breeder to know. These are my breeding traits, of course, grain yield, but other agronomic traits which are important to provide high yield, early maturity for direct uniform maturity prosomia doesn't mature uniformly in a short time. It starts maturing from the top and it goes down. By the time lower panicles, the spikelets are matured, upper panicles just gets lost because of the shattering that happens. So this is one of my breeding target, lodging and shattering resistance. And some of the quality traits, since my direction is not only bird seed, but also other things like human food quality and ethanol production. This is the first waxy millet. All the millet, these are the past millet, these are all, wild type, non-waxy type. And this is the first variety, 2015, I released the Plato. Seed is comparable, yield is better than three varieties, but worse than three varieties, but better than few other varieties. Bottom line is, it is the first cultivated waxy millet. What is waxy? Any cereal grains has a starch, two type of starch. One is amylose, another is amylopectin. Amylose is a straight chain, amylopectin is a branched chain. Now, normal wild type, non-waxy grains has 3/4 is amylopectin and 1/4 is amylose. But waxy trait, whether waxy partial waxy wheat or waxy maize or waxy milo, is 100% of amylopectin. And that gives kind of a sticky nature. And many times that is preferred in Asian countries' food recipes because they mostly prefer the chopstick. That may be the reason. So that was the market I targeted. We tested, I have 50% extension. So we tested all the varieties for different production system just to share with you that we have different varieties apart from relatively different under different production system. Dryland, this is the predominant production system in that area, but there is organic millet production and some people under irrigated condition as a rotational crop to control some weed or some pathogen or insect they use also. So many times I get called, okay, which variety I should grow under irrigated condition? That's why I tested. So as a breeder, obviously I need, if I, my breeding targets are those kinds of traits, I need to look for where can I get those. So for a breeder, gold mine is a germplasm. So when I came, I contacted David Brenner, who is the germplasm curator at USDA ARS Center at Ames. So he selected some core collection, about 131, and from there I picked up 90, which are adapted to the Western Nebraska. Then analyzed that for the different traits of my interest. We have found some of the germplasms, which has those relative, my desired traits. And I have been using those in my breeding program. We have analyzed those germplasm set in different clusters based on the phenotypic data. And that is useful when I make the parents, select the parents for the crossing block. That helps me picking up some parents from here or here. That is always better. As a breeder, we know that. More diverse parents means likelihood to pick up diverse genome is better. So if you want to increase that genomic germplasm base of the variety, you need to select always diverse parents. So that is the use of that based on phenotype. We also did the similar analysis based on molecular markers, and we are correlating these molecular markers based cluster analysis versus phenotypic based cluster analysis so that we can confirm that what are the cluster and we can use our breeding program more confidently. Prosomillet, no genomic information available, no genome map, no markers. So I went to switchgrass, which is Panicum variegatum. Of course, it's octoploid, but that is the closest one. Lots of sequence, lots of markers where they are foxtail millet genomic sequence, but that is Citaria. So I tried to use all this marker information and tried to use the prosomillet. And not many SSR markers were very useful in Panicum miliaceum. So I went to GBS. SNP marker. So based on that, this is the map, first map we developed. Now remember, prosomillet basic chromosome is 18, but my chromosome is not 18, probably close to 30, and that always happens when you start the genome mapping in any crop. Even at the beginning when it happened with the rice or corn, they did not come up with 10 or 12. They always came up with more, and they put more linking marker to combine 2-3 linkage groups, and they came up with equivalent chromosome number. I'm hoping that. Now, what is the use of genome map or genetic linkage map if you cannot map your trait of interest? So, all this reverse triangle, those are the different QTLs for multiple agromorphological characters. We mapped it. few importance are, for example, grains per panicle, obviously an important grain component for high yield, lodging tolerant, grain shattering, and plant height and panicle length, which are together, and we map those four important, and obviously those are important for me. Altogether, we identified QTLs about 19 different traits, QTLs, for I think 8 or 9 different traits. This is plant height, internode length, peduncle length, lodging at harvest, all these things. So important, this is the name of the QTLs, and this is the load value that tells how strong they are and what is the breeding value of those that the phenotypic variants explain. So I think I have few QTLs, but can I use readily? Possibly not. We know the lesson we learned in different major crops like corn, soybean, rice, that's not easy to use right away those planking marker in breeding program. But that's the beginning. Somewhere we need to start. So that's the current state. And just this year we published this one in molecular breeding. Now, switching the gear. That's about my breeding program. But my major focus is to tell you where the millet. Millet is just a minor off-farm crop, just located in that somewhere in the western Great Plain, and that's all. Millet is coming to the mainstream. Many people, your friends, family, they are some sort of gluten intolerance. You always look for gluten-free product. Millet is a gluten-free. In fact, all millets are gluten-free. I think last August, not this year, 2015 August, there was an article in National Geography. Many of you might have seen that. So the millet is coming to the mainstream because of the reason. It's not because it is a highest water use efficient crop for western Nebraska or eastern Colorado, but it is coming to the mainstream as a healthy food. Here is the health tags for all the millets, not only proso millet. Is the environmental healthy to the environment? Takes less amount of water, low input crops, so it leaves less carbon footprint to the environment. Is not it desirable for the future? The new theme is coming, we all consumers need to know where the food is coming from, how it is being produced, what is the carbon footprint it is leaving to the environment, which impacts our next generation. Here is all the millets. Now, proso millet is the only major millet which is being used in the food industry in US. That is important to know. It is not only human healthy to the environment, it is healthy to the human. Gluten-free, high fiber, low glycemic index. I do not have to explain that, and I am not expert also. Rich in minerals. And in general, all the millets are good for complex metabolic health disorders. You talk about inflammation, you talk about diabetes, you talk about obesity. They are known. Now, how they work, few people around the world, they are trying to work it out. That what may be the scientific basis for that, for the claim. In Japan, one biomedical scientist, he identified one unique polypeptide in protein in proso millet seed, which reduces cholesterol in hypercholesterol mouse model. So, people are there. These are the major uses of proso millet. As I told, majority is bird food, but they are being used for different types of food products and also for alcoholic beverages. This one bottle of millet-based beer in Taiwan costs probably $150. And these days it is being used for craft beer production in eastern part of Colorado. These are the composition. So there is good fiber. Protein is not that, but starch is lower than corn. That's okay because we started working on that aspect. And you know that extrusion is important for developing ready-to-eat cereals and snacks. So we did study that one. We found that we optimized the extrusion condition, and we found the extrusion is very similar of wheat. Here is the all these common flours and their extrusion properties, and here is the proso millet. All these parameters are very similar. Another is a gluten-free noodle. This is just will be communicated probably within a couple of weeks. Here is the wheat-based noodle, uncooked and cooked. And here is the proso millet. It's very similar with the physicochemical property. It's very similar. Alcohol production, same thing, very similar. Corn and millet, alcohol fermentation property is very similar. So with this, my concluding remarks would be, eat more millet. People will know about Millet. People will be encouraged to do a little bit more research so that I get some help and colleague to work with and talk with. And more biomedical research is necessary to understand that. We need to produce more ready-to-eat millet-based food, and we are working on that. We need more public-private partnership and more public awareness and farmers' engagement. These are my people collaborators. These are the funding agency. Without that, I would not be able to do that. And with that, thank you very much. Waxy millet, I developed that particularly for one Japanese food industry company because they needed the waxy millet. That was the reason, but it can be used for any other purpose. It can be used for bird food. Bird doesn't care. It can be used for alcohol production, fermentation. In fact, we found when waxy versus non-waxy, we found fermentation efficiency is a little bit better in waxy millet. So it can be used just like non-waxy millet, but it was developed specifically for a unique food market. Yes, sir.
How is it for normal grain places, like Wisconsin or someplace?
When you have lots of moisture like eastern part of U.S., millet is not a desirable crop. They have a better choice. But if you want, you can grow that. Once you grow that, you may have some disease problem, foliar disease problem. I have heard from eastern Kansas that they have some foliar diseases. I got an email from UK they are trying to grow. They have some foliar disease problem because of high humidity. Millet breeders never develop for fungal resistant millet variety because that is not the problem at our area. Yes, there may be a problem, but it can be produced. Thank you.